Welcome to the International Schools Podcast, where we discuss all aspects of technology and life in international schools, with new episodes live every 2 weeks. This podcast is sponsored by Apps Events. We're a Google for Education partner and active since the launch of Google Apps for Education in 2006. We're a team of former educators and all experts in helping schools integrate Google into their schools and their classrooms. All training is customized for each school, and we make sure it has a lasting impact. Literally thousands of educators worldwide have earned their Google Educator certification with us, with our certification boot camps, and these take place every month and get your staff certified quickly. We also host Google Summits, which are fun 2-day conference style events with concurrent sessions and keynotes delivered by experienced Google trainers, teaching on a broad range of topics using G Suite both in the classroom and in the school. Check it out over at appsevents.com, and we can bring any of these events to your school, which is an amazing way to build a Google community amongst your staff to support each other, plus to increase the profile of yourself and your school. The podcast is also brought to you by Acer for Education. People ask us what Chromebooks we recommend for schools, and after trying them all, quite literally, we always recommend Acer. We've been to Acer headquarters in Taiwan to be part of product discussions, and they're genuinely the best thought out, most cost effective, and most importantly, durable devices out there. They're always innovating, including the first tablet running Chrome and the first convertible touchscreen Chromebook. The latest version of this is a Spin 11, which has a stylus and two cameras, and we highly, highly recommend it for schools. They, of course, have a full range of Windows laptops, and for esports fans, their Predator range is second to none. If you'd like more information, please just leave your email over at gg.gg/Acer Education. That's gg.gg/Acer Education, and we'll get right back to you. And now, on to the interview. Hi, and welcome to the International Schools Podcast, episode 2. I'm delighted this week to be joined by two of the co-hosts for the first time, Ben Rouse and James Sayer, who I work with at Apps Events. So James is based in Bangkok, and Ben is based somewhere in the south of England. I'm never quite sure where, somewhere Surrey or something like Middlesex or something like that. Somewhere down there. Not the north of England is what I'll let know. So guys, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Dan.
Let's start with James. If you guys could just give a quick overview of what you're up to, what your background is, etc., that would be cool, as it's the first time.
Yeah, thanks, Dan. So I started out as a math teacher for many years, and after several years of working in a school, wanted to just basically get involved in more things. And the natural next step was to get involved in technology in the school. And I kind of led on to a few different things within the school, but probably the biggest one was rolling out what it was called then, Google Apps for Education. And then, of course, G Suite. And then a couple of years ago, we rolled out a Chromebook one-to-one program for the school.
Great. And of course, and I should point out, this is the topic of today's conversation, the basics about Chromebook success for schools. Cool. And obviously, you run Asia for Apps Events as well, and we work together on a bunch of events. I'm going to be hanging out with you in the fall this year, which should be great.
Yeah, really looking forward to it. I think we have events in Nepal, Myanmar, Bangkok, Hong Kong lined up. It's going to be exciting fall, busy fall.
Yeah, definitely. And Ben, over to you.
There's a bit of a theme going on. So I was a math teacher for, I think it was like 13 years after a very brief civil engineering career.
Yeah, so and then both engineers to start off with.
Exactly. peas in a pod. And then I was working at school, bypassing the school's kind of digital offering. So there was a virtual learning environment that I tried to use and really couldn't get my head around, didn't see.
I should point out a virtual learning environment is what the rest of the world calls a learning management system.
Yeah, very true. When UK centric conversation starts now. I started using a Gmail account to do some Google Forms with my classes. And then because of my rogue nature with approach to digital, the school got me involved in what to do next. And similar to James, we rolled out Google Apps for Education in 2013 at the school. And that then led to using G Suite across that school, a number of local schools. And that's what kind of led me into doing training with Apps Events. So hence, getting you two guys as my colleagues. And then since then, it's been working with a lot of schools around G Suite, Chromebooks. The school that I first took down the Google Apps route are doing a Chromebook rollout right now. And yeah, on the theme of today's podcast, I've managed to sort of spend a bit of time with schools looking at the various ways that they implement Chromebooks across the piece. So a little
and
bit
since, and we've worked together in, I think, many continents. We've absolutely, you've been to Brazil, you've met James in Asia, I think, and were you in Thailand with us?
Well, we first met actually in Qatar.
That's right,
yeah, Qatar. Probably 4 or 5 years ago, and then Asia.
Yeah,
and I've a bit of US, I think we first met in Frankfurt, you and I, Dan, and then spent a bit of time in New Hampshire at an event together, along with everywhere else. Rio was one of my more exotic trips this year. So
great.
Yeah, can't complain.
So Chromebooks in schools, like, I mean, obviously the main audience of this school is this podcast is international schools, but we'll have people from any kind of school, a lot of US and UK schools listening. So Chromebooks, as most people know, they're a laptop using Google's operating system. It's like very much like the Chrome web browser, very easy to administer. And a lot of schools are using Chromebooks, and we've all worked with a lot of schools. We're going to talk a bit about the high-level success factors and how you can implement Chromebooks at schools. So kind of basics, anything you guys have got to kick off in terms of like what kind of schools and what kind of people should be looking at Chromebooks?
I'm going to say everyone, every school should be looking at them as a starting point. I think it's interesting. There's an argument that you need to have certain things in place to start using Chromebooks. Arguably, you could even get away without a G Suite account, but let's start with that. Let's have a G Suite account in place.
Yeah, G Suite meaning some people still call it Google Apps, but Google's suite of applications, Gmail and Drive being the main ones.
So I think starting with a G Suite for Education account, free unlimited storage is always a good starting point. But I think what I spend a lot of my time doing is showing people the combination of G Suite and Chromebooks.
Yeah.
But actually, I don't know whether it's worth getting into straight away, but maybe something for later is I have seen people adopt Chromebooks without combining the two and don't get the full potential out of that combination. So
yeah, I mean, I've almost always seen it as when schools are using G Suite or Google Apps, as some people still call it, and it was the next stage to start looking at Chromebooks in some capacity. I don't know if you've got any thoughts, James.
Yeah, I've got a slightly different perspective working with the international schools in the region. I noticed a lot of the international schools have, I mean, fair to say, a little bit larger budgets than schools in the UK. They have a full choice of what technology to use. And whilst a lot of schools are Mac-based or Apple-based, the ease of implementation, if you don't have a full support of a 10 or 20-person IT department and so on, Chromebooks are a natural choice to look at. If you're an unlimited budget, perhaps you might consider something else just because of the fact there are more expensive options out there. But if you are limited on tech support, limited on staffing, the natural choice is to look at Chromebooks.
Yeah, I mean, I guess this is probably a good time to mention the kind of types of implementations of Chromebooks. And then we can get onto things like, you know, how do you get leadership to buy in and things. But I mean, I think, you know, there's different ways. There's obviously BYOD and one-to-one are kind of the two main ways I've seen schools using Chromebooks. So, you know, with BYOD, I mean, I've seen a lot of schools say that you can bring any device as long as it's got a web browser, basically, and you've got to have Chrome on it. So you can bring a Mac, you can bring a Windows computer, or you can bring a Chromebook, but students bring their own devices. That's probably the most common I've seen, but I've also seen one-to-one where, you know, and also seen projects where the school has purchased Chromebooks for all the students, usually starting with kind of a pilot project of one grade. So guys, what have you kind of seen of the sort of broad types of implementations?
Yeah, maybe I'll just kick off and talk about my school. So we rolled out a one-to-one program on Chromebooks nearly 2 years ago. So 350 devices one-to-one.
Do you want to just say what one-to-one is, just in case there is anyone on this who hasn't?
So one-to-one would be where every student has a device exclusively for them. So no shared devices. They have access to a device all day. Perhaps they have it in period one and period eight, or any time in between. Maybe they're using it all day, maybe they're using it for 10 minutes of the day, but they have access to a device for the whole day.
Yeah, and typically the school's providing these devices.
That's typically the school would be providing them, yeah. I mean, there are other models out there. Sometimes a school will pay initially, and then the parents will pay back to the school and have ownership of the device at the end.
Yeah.
But typically the school is providing them. Yeah, so we rolled out 350 in a one-to-one program. At year 13, so grade 12 or in Britain, it would be year 13, they have a BYOD program as well, so the students can elect to bring a device if they want to. We're typically based on a one-to-one model.
Right. Have you seen...
And the reason...
Yeah,
the simple reason we went that route is we actually had desktops in place. So we had two students would share one desktop, and we had that across the school. And the challenge was that was keeping hardware and software maintained. It was just a huge headache. Even though we only had half the number of devices compared to the number of students, just a massive headache in terms of maintenance.
And did you kick off with a pilot project? And a pilot project is usually a test project. I've seen it work often with lower grades where you maybe move one grade or just one class even or two classes onto Chromebooks and try that out first.
Well, here's a challenge. In our school, in the way purchasing goes, we did actually try a pilot project on iPads and MacBooks over a few years. But we found in order to get our purchase through, having a pilot project would just entail us having to run a big budget the next year again. And so in our case, we looked at it very, very carefully what we were going to do. We looked at a number of different options and we went for a full rollout in year one.
Right.
Chromebooks, just because of purchasing. I think every school is different. Every school has its own challenges. Pilot project, definitely valuable. But again, you have to consider what you can get through the school budget as well.
Sure.
So for example, we have a 3-year budget for tech. When that is over, then we refresh the tech every 3 years.
Right.
But doing any partial project is very, very difficult.
Right. Yeah. You got anything to add on that, Ben?
So my background was in state schools in the UK when I was teaching, and then have done subsequently a lot more work with international schools through the training side of things. And one of the interesting things coming in is when I work with the state schools, they're not buying Macs for their students if they're doing any kind of rollout. But that's pretty standard when you go to a lot of the international schools. And like James says, obviously the budget is very different. But what I find interesting is the challenge of managing other devices over the Chromebook. The Chromebook's really easy to enroll, really easy to manage, even without looking at it as an opportunity to cut costs, but an opportunity to free up your tech staff to be more proactive. I think that's the bit where I feel there's a bit more of a move from the international schools I speak to, where they see an opportunity to not have tech staff sitting in a room fixing things and kind of reacting to challenges it might have, where more, you know, more hefty software is the problem.
It's true. I mean, I remember I worked at a school in Prague in the old days, and you know, back, people forget that back when you had like a bunch of, you know, the start of the school year, you'd have a bunch of Windows laptops and you'd literally be in a room with them all logged on, going around them one by one, you know, partitioning the drives, like updating the software. It was like a crazy complicated and time consuming. Like, and I know IT staff would come in days early, a week early sometimes, just to get all the laptops ready. And now you can just do it online pretty much instantly with Chromebooks. Any update, you know, the date updates coming in real time. There's nothing to do.
No, I mean, for events, I routinely enroll anywhere between 30 and 200 devices, Chromebooks for events that we do.
Yeah.
So I do that pre-event, which is the equivalent of what a school would do at the beginning of the year. So if I can manage to fit it in before each event on a sort of weekly or monthly basis, that's the kind of time saving you're going to get. But it's interesting. I don't feel there's a look at it that way. There's like, well, if we have the budget, we'll go for the more expensive device. But are there kind of real opportunities? I think that's the interesting sort of bit to have a look at. Even if you've got all the budget in the world, some benefits to having an ease of management that can allow you to really get the best out of it.
Definitely. And do many UK schools do BYOD, bring your own device, or is that pretty rare?
It's pretty rare. It's fraught with challenges. A guy that I know did that with his school, and like immediately the challenge was what version, you know. You've got some kids bringing in Vista, you've got some kids bringing in Windows 7, you've got some kids bringing in various different versions on, you know, of their operating system on their Mac. The Chromebooks is probably the easier one if you're going to do that.
I've seen international schools do it, and you know, the students have had to provide, or the parents obviously provided the laptop, but the schools have enrolled everything on via the G Suite domain. So if it was a Mac, they're just, you know, enrolling the Chrome browser effectively.
I think in some cases, bring your own device needs some guidance around, here's our suggested set of devices, so parents can get some guidance on, if I'm purchasing for the first time, like, give me a list and I'll pick from it ones that, you know, you can manage okay. And that's just been the challenge, is when a class of students walk in with 5, 6, 7 different devices for a teacher to say, right, can everyone do this particular thing or go to this particular place? It's how you manage that. So there's just a lot more to tackle. So what I've seen in schools in the UK is, I mean, the first port of call for the state schools is buy a trolley of 30 Chromebooks.
Yeah, well, that was the thing. Chromebook carts, Chromebook trolleys, that's kind of a separate category, isn't it, which a lot of schools do. Rather than one-to-one at BYD, you have a bunch of carts in one classroom, or they might even be on wheels, and you can wheel them around. And that's what people use, and teachers just give them out for lessons.
Yeah, which is, like, it's ideal. Because the shared iPad environment, and I don't know, James might know a bit more, but international schools where they go Mac for senior students, in your experience, they often go iPads in the, like, elementary school, or?
I wouldn't say down to elementary, but certainly years 3 to 7, years 3 to 8, something like that, certainly.
Because that's where I see the most sort of frustration is around anywhere where there's a shared iPad environment, then that's where they sort of really get frustrated with that. And that's where Chromebooks make a big difference in that kind of, you know, not one-to-one environment. But the school, I mean, like I said, the schools that I see, the bring your own device seems really, like, you've got to have some savvy IT technicians and support around that to make that work. Whereas a one-to-one is just a world easier to implement.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's probably a good point to jump onto the sort of factors. So, like we talked about, you know, there's different ways you could implement Chromebooks, bring your own device one-to-one, having a few carts. You know, people listening to this in the US, I mean, the US is a much more mature market for Chromebooks. I mean, I know multiple districts who buy tens of thousands of Chromebooks, you know, and they'll buy it for the whole district. And the rest of the world and international schools, it's much, much smaller market. You know, people, schools typically buying, you know, in the hundreds or maybe 1,000 at a really kind of high end. But let's say you're going there, obviously getting, like with any IT project, the two key factors, I think, are getting leadership on board and also getting the tech team on board. Like you were talking about having, you know, the tech team train Ben for BYOD. I think they're two of the crucial things, you know, because what I've noticed with kind of Chrome and Google projects, they can be led by different people in the school. You know, they might be led by a tech director, they might be led by senior leadership, or they might just be led by a teacher, you know? And whoever leads it, you've got to get everyone on board to get the project kicked off. So anything you guys have got in terms of that kind of topic?
Just talking about two Chromebook rollouts, one-to-one Chromebook rollouts that I've seen in the UK. So you guys will be familiar with Louise Jones, currently leading Google for Education in Scotland. So in her previous role in the Highland Council, she looked at the provision of how to support digital across all schools in the Highlands, and they looked at what they wanted to achieve with the learning, and then looked at the devices that would best support all of that, and came to the conclusion that Chromebooks was the way. And actually, this is all the whole process, policies, all the trials, all the different approaches is all written up in a kind of Chromebook pilot blog. And we can provide the link. I presume that will go on afterwards.
Yeah, give me the link. I'll put it in the show notes.
And what you've got there is the whole process of how they went about it and the success of that rollout. And Highland continue to refresh their Chromebook stock to this day, was that it was focused around what they wanted to achieve with the curriculum, what they wanted to achieve around learning, and finding the best fit for that with the technology. So that's a really good implementation. And similar to that, and then that came from the top. So Louise got buy-in from the leadership around the council to make that happen. Another example for an individual school, there's a school down in the southeast of the UK, and they, 2 years out of deciding to go one-to-one with Chromebooks, they took a big look at their curriculum and adapted their curriculum based on what it would enable them to achieve that they weren't able to achieve before the students started to get Chromebooks. And really interestingly, they asked staff to kind of rate themselves on a 4-point scale of like how confident they felt with G Suite and that kind of thing. And the group of teachers that rated themselves the lowest confidence, lowest ability, were then brought together to be the trainers. So they were told, brilliant, you've identified yourselves as the lowest skill level, you're going to train everyone else.
And after
after initial shock and horror, they were also told that you're going to be given time, support to get to that point. And that's one of the examples. I spoke to the teachers after the rollout of the Chromebooks, and they said, you know, we were a bit scared about it, but then we had a lot of support. And equally, the people that were showing them how they could be utilized were people they wouldn't necessarily expect to stand up and talk about that kind of thing. So in my school, when I got up to talk about G Suite, there was a bit of, oh, it's a predictable state of affairs. Ben's going to talk about G Suite again. But if you can get some of the less tech savvy members of staff on board, I think there's a real great win for those.
Yeah, I've never heard that before. That's a really interesting way to do it.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to put the support in place. That was a well-structured rollout. They didn't just get the Chromebooks and then think what to do with them. The Chromebooks arrived at the sweet spot where they were using G Suite in the school already. They had support and training and awareness that was going to happen. There'd been some smaller scale trials with particular classes and year groups. So when the Chromebooks arrived en masse, ready for the one-to-one rollout, the teachers and the students were like chomping at the bit. Like, we feel like we're being held back without having one-to-one Chromebooks and couldn't wait to get them in their hands.
Ben, you picked up something really important there. It's not about exciting the people who are already excited about tech. It's getting everybody else involved, the other 80% involved. That's really, really important. And giving them the tools and the time to get used to it as well.
What about when you get resistance from IT staff who are kind of stuck in either the Mac world or the Windows world and very reluctant to get going with Google? The only way I've seen it work is if you can get these people on side, you know? I mean, or go around them, but that's usually pretty difficult, you know? I think, you know, it's all in my opinion about letting them see, look, the cloud is, it's got its disadvantages, but it is the way things are going. And this is why we're doing it, you know? It's getting rid of the client-side model.
Yeah, I think we overemphasize the people who don't want to get on board a little bit. Sometimes it's not that they don't want to get on board. It's just maybe they haven't had the time or the training to get used to it.
Sure.
And the very minority of people who are maybe not used to it only makes up maybe 5 or 10%.
Yep.
We spend a lot of time thinking about that and worrying that that's going to hold up a project. I think we focus on the 80, 90% that really want to get involved. And they self-identify as well.
Yep.
I think it's very easy to bring them on board. I think you were just mentioning, Ben, about a rollout. What we did, we had post one-to-one rollout, we had 6 months of weekly coffee mornings where people came in with different ideas of what they're doing. And that was when not the experts stood up and talked about what they were doing. That's when everybody else did. But it was to do it in a non-threatening environment. It's just a coffee morning. Super, super important. So basically, people like Ben and myself get out of the way and let other people have a voice.
Yeah, something I've seen John Mixon's done for a long time. He calls it Cyber Cafe, where you have like a drop-in session once a week or something where especially around if any kind of project's going on, like a Chromebook project, where people can come in and there's people around to talk about any problem or any question.
Yeah, you can do a lot worse than follow John Mixon's.
Definitely, sure. Especially with International School Tech. He's the guy.
Absolutely.
Cool. What about training? Obviously, we've got clearly an interest in this because we run a Google training organization, Apps Events. I mean, since if I look at my background, pre-education technology, it was working in the enterprise world. I was a consultant with Deloitte and doing IT projects. And one of my mentors, Stefan Lacker, who was actually the guy who went to work for Google and became the European technical lead for Google Apps, and he's the guy, the reason I started Apps Events, he introduced me. And he always said to me, from the very beginning, that the main reason he'd seen almost every IT project fail had been training. And even a project where the technology with Chromebooks is as simple as it is still the case. I mean, I'm not saying you should necessarily use a partner, but you do need to think about the training, and there's a few key factors. So I don't know what you guys have got to say. I'm sure you guys have got a few things to say about training.
You'd hope so, wouldn't you? Like you said, I think Chromebooks and G Suite, whenever we've had the opportunity to work with schools on it, I've never known yet anyone that says, we tried it out and we didn't like it, we didn't go with it. Like, no one goes back.
Yeah.
And I think that is generally to do with it works, makes sense, it's easy to use. And on the face of it, you would think, well, their training shouldn't be that high then if it's an easy thing to use. But like James was getting at, people aren't necessarily reluctant to change or to try it out. They just want a bit of time to get their head around it. So I think to a large extent, that's what the training time provides, is a giving everyone a day or a twilight session or some time to look at it and get their head around it, like permission to think about that, rather than trying to fit it into your own day. And if you prioritize your own day, it's hard to get past the day-to-day stuff. So I think that, like, on a basic level, is what the training means, is it's a commitment from the leadership, like you said about buy-in. If the leadership put on a training session, that for the rest of the staff is saying, okay, leadership are obviously backing this because they've given us training time on it. That is a direction of travel. And then also the permission to switch your head off of everything else and tinker and play around with stuff and see where it fits for you and get and expedite that process and have an expert come in and say, here, yeah, there's lots of stuff you could look at, but here's where, in our experience, you've got the, you know, you can get started and the best place to start. And that's what everyone seems to appreciate.
Yeah, you said something there, Ben. Let them play around with it. Let them take it home and play with it at home. We find that's really, really important. As soon as they take it home, play with it on a weekend in their own time when they're a bit more relaxed, that's hugely important. Then they can see where it fits into their day. We were already obviously a G Suite school, so we'd already rolled out G Suite. Rolling out the Chromebooks increased our reliance, obviously, on G Suite and people's familiarity with it. And until they got to just play with it, they didn't really appreciate the power of it. We actually had a training company come in and train on Chromebook usage, and it was totally misaligned with what the school needed. So a case of me getting out of the way and letting somebody else talk about it. But unfortunately, they didn't research enough what the school required before they did the training.
I think like quite often business-focused training will just focus on how to use Chromebooks. But with education, it's 100% got to be how do you use this in the classroom. If you're talking with teachers, or how do you use this for leadership or support stuff, how do you use it in your job? You know,
where does it fit into your day? It's not about where the power button is or the best keyboard shortcuts. It's where does it fit into your day? How does it make your job as a math teacher easier? I mean, that's ultimately one of the biggest questions.
I think the other thing I have encountered is where schools kind of think it's a pretty niche thing that, you know, using G Suite and Chromebooks combined is something that doesn't happen that regularly around the world. And then to some extent, it's useful to point out that there are large multinational companies doing this. I mean, not least Google. Who operate off of G Suite and Chromebooks pretty exclusively across the piece. You will see a Mac from time to time in the Google office, it's fair to say. But, you know, they managed to operate a $1 billion business pretty successfully from it. So I think that's the other bit as well, is that you're not going down some weird niche route. This is something that can be used entirely successfully across your whole organization.
I mean, for me, the training... It's tough to quantify, but if I was saying a Chromebook rollout at a school, I would say training is 90%+, because what are the other elements? The other elements are the physical hardware setup. Well, you've got to unbox a lot of Chromebooks, you've got to connect them all, you've got to log on to them all, but then you've got to load them into a cart. And I've actually seen schools where they got the students to help out with this. They actually did the students did the whole setup. Some schools in Finland where we worked with did this. So you've got the physical setup, which is pretty quick. You've then got some configuration in the G Suite control panel, which again is pretty quick. I think it's basically, if you're talking Chromebooks, I think you're talking about a training exercise, because that's most of what you're going to do. And I think it starts with key users, you know, getting a core group in your school that are really into Google, building that community. You know, there's a bunch of certifications Google does, Google Certified Educator 1 and 2, Certified Trainer. And getting a few of these people certified, because that tends to be a situation where they take the project on themselves without you having to formalize it. I don't know what you guys' experience has been of this.
It's interesting, actually. I've noticed a number of schools are partnering a Chromebook rollout with requiring all their teachers to at least attempt the Google Certified Educator exams.
Yep.
One school requested all teachers to do the exam one time. Another school said, we want to get 80% of our people certified. So there's different models like that the schools are requiring when they roll out the Chromebooks.
Definitely.
Ben, have you seen that in England at all?
A little bit. That seems to really be a lot more prevalent in the US, where there's that combination pulling them together. Not so much in the UK. Interestingly, like Dan, you talked about the US is much more mature market in terms of G Suite and Chromebook. The other market sort of closely behind them is Northern Europe.
Yeah,
where we've done a lot of work. And interestingly, from a kind of training point of view, the training is very much, when we go to Northern Europe and work with schools there, it's not, here's a Google Doc, here's how you collaborate, here's how you can use the Chromebook with that. It's more around what's possible. So we've done a number of experiential events for school leaders in Northern Europe where we're using G Suite and we're using Chromebooks, but that's not the explicit focus. It's around the opportunities for getting outside of the classroom and extending the reach of the classroom. But I think a lot of the success in Northern Europe appears to me to be down to a really strong curriculum, a really open and well-crafted curriculum. And then that's where G Suite and Chromebook seem to have had a good fit for school leaders in those countries where it makes sense with their curriculum. They're ready for digital to integrate with their curriculum. But then they also have kind of quite good train the trainer models. So they've had the training at the start, but rather than repeatedly having a day and then another day, that training has led to people within the organization getting more competent in order to then spread it out. So that kind of ripple effect of that initial training then going through the organization so you can keep that expertise in-house.
Definitely.
So that seems to be one of the things that's gone down. And like, I think Sweden is number one for Chromebook sales in Europe, and the whole region has sort of gone for Chromebooks in a big way, and also Benelux, and so Belgium, Luxembourg, Netherlands is just recently, last month or so, has become Chromebooks become the largest selling education device there as well.
I think as well, one thing you touched on with the training is think of it as a, you know, develop a multi-year training plan. Don't approach this as a just we're going to do a rollout, train our key users. You know, approach it as we're going to, because you know the schools have a cycle. You know, every year some new staff arrive, some new staff leave. Obviously, you know, a bunch of new students arrive who are going to be using the devices. And I think approaching this with like a, I've seen it successful, most successful when it's been like at least a 3-year plan in terms of getting a bunch of core staff certified, some basic introductory training for new hires, train the trainer stuff. I don't know what you guys think about that.
I mean, absolutely. We've started to do more and more training engagements with schools that are not a one-off, where we're taking a group of teachers in the school, working with them directly and building their capacity. So whether that's through getting them through the certifications, becoming a Google certified trainer, or just focusing particularly on the strategy that they've got in place. Those longer term engagements are much more effective. You've got an avenue for them to come and ask you questions as well. So we've had really good feedback from those engagements. They're also the types of engagements that have shown to be really effective in embedding the technology in it, sort of getting value for money, if you like. That initial spend on technology can be high. And unlike businesses where you're looking for a profit at the end of it, the measures of how effective that is are slightly different. But an influx of training, you can see the impact on the curriculum and learning afterwards.
Yeah, that's interesting, Ben, actually, because just back to the international schools, some of the bigger international schools, they have, for example, there's a big international school in Bangkok. They have a math teacher trainer on staff full time that their math teachers can go to. And that's a school with maybe 1,500 students max. And then they have multiple ed tech integrators, trainers as well. So the bigger schools with the, obviously the bigger budgets, they have a lot of these training staff already on site. I mean, that school has probably 20 people to support its teachers, just to support in terms of training and expert advice. And then you go outside of that, obviously some schools don't have the same access, but they are looking for the sort of a continual relationship to build a capacity within their school. And Dan, you mentioned before, when teachers leave, of course, quite often you'll get, of course, teachers are going to retire, but then you'll have some of your superstar teachers possibly leave, go somewhere else. You don't want them leaving with all of the knowledge you've been building up. It's just really, really important to share that out.
Yeah, and another tip for schools, listen to this. Like, if you've gone the Google route, like, use that as an advertisement, because you'll attract some high-level staff to come to your school, because everyone I know, and everyone James knows and Ben knows, I think, would only want to work for Google schools. You know, they'd probably throw a fit if you asked them to go in a Microsoft school. So, like, you know, make sure that, you know, you promote this. Say, look, we're a Google school, we're using Chromebooks, because you're the, you know, and get that out front, because you'll attract a lot of people who want to keep working with Google tools.
I had exactly that. One of my colleagues was leaving to go to a new school. He came back from his interview sort of positive about it in terms of they offered him the role, but he said, Ben, they're not G Suite, what do I do? And so actually, after he'd taken the role, he then took me with him so I could sit down with their sort of assistant head, and I think it was IT director, and just look at, they were just like, well, so what's the process for this G Suite? We're happy to look at it.
Yeah.
We just don't know what it is. So yeah, just him going for interview led to them going down the G Suite route.
Yeah.
Because he couldn't countenance like delivering what he wanted to deliver without them having G Suite available.
Definitely. Just
the reality is, I think, yeah, I was going to follow up. I think the reality is that schools have multiple different systems and software.
Yeah, and it's good to work with. I'm not saying you should just have Google. It's great to work with Microsoft and Apple stuff as well.
But then the beauty of Chrome, of course, it can be on any device. It's not limited to a single piece of hardware. Chrome is already on every device. And then the natural next step, once you've got that already and you see that your users are exclusively in Chrome, you go to a really expensive laptop, $2,000, and you find out 95% of the time they're just in Chrome, then it begs the question next time around, well, what's the right device in this scenario, in this environment?
Like, if the music classes and the design classes that are going to be using things like GarageBand, Adobe Suite, and all that kind of stuff, you want to have the devices that enable them to use the tool that's right. But like you say, for the majority of the time, a Chromebook's going to give you access to everything you need, up until every so often, you know, if you want to do some After Effects, then you jump onto the in-situ Mac and do your thing.
Definitely. So I think in closing, just a quick thing to talk about is, like, let's say you're looking to look at Chromebooks, maybe a pilot project, like what type of device should you get? I mean, there's kind of two general categories of Chromebook, I guess. There's the clamshell device, usually the some cheaper ones are the clamshell, which are kind of regular laptop and no touchscreens. Sometimes has a touchscreen. And then there's the convertible devices, which, you know, the screen rotates all the way around 360 degrees. It turns into a tablet. A lot of them have a stylus. Particular favorite for schools is the Acer S11. It's a really amazing device. I use it myself every day. But they're a bit more expensive. So I don't know what you guys feel has worked well in terms of what kind of device.
I'm going to dive in here with a couple of weeks ago, I went to a big Apple event here in Bangkok, and it was showcasing the new iPads and new MacBooks. Absolutely beautiful devices. Went back into school, speaking to a year 11 student, picked up his Chromebook, put it into his desk, and it slipped out the back of the desk onto the floor. Number one, longevity and strength. Yeah. Get something that's not going to break easily. Number one. That is the absolute number one thing.
Definitely. I would say about Acer, James and me were lucky enough to go to Acer HQ, and we saw some of the testing, and it's pretty interesting. The guy was pouring water from the sink over the Chromebook, dropping it from different angles onto the screen, onto the keyboard.
Absolutely essential. Yeah, and he picked up the Chromebook, opened the screen, good to go.
Yeah.
Here's
that with my MacBook Pro.
Here's a segue for you then, because like I would say the ability to have Android apps on the Chromebooks is pretty massive. Actually, as of just about now, you can guide expeditions on a Chrome device. So push out the expeditions Android app to all the student devices, and the teachers can now guide a tour through the expeditions app. Something that previously you had to have like a phone and a cardboard or a viewer. So that's a nice one. But yeah, maybe get the Science Journal app, push that out to your Chromebooks, and then just have them drop them with the accelerometer sensors
Ben's
on.
Ben's not really suggesting that, everybody.
I have seen a 21st century egg drop where they package up a Chromebook inside a box, drop that with Science Journal running alongside the egg to see kind of the various different accelerometer readouts to see why the egg did or didn't break. But I suggest putting your egg in a container of some kind when you do that, next to the Chromebook. But yeah, because you can drop them and throw them and everything. Yeah,
cool. Well, guys, I think that's a great way to finish. Thanks very much, guys. I think to say in closing, if you've got any questions, we're always available. Anyone listening to this, I'd say if you're in Asia or the Middle East, get in touch with James. He's james@appsevents.com, J-A-M-E-S. Ben for the UK and probably US as well, probably a good place to start, ben@appsevents.com. Thanks, guys. Anything you guys have got to add in closing?
No, just pleasure to chat, always.
Great, nice guys. Chat, guys. Absolutely.
Thank you very much, and look forward to chat again on the podcast soon.
Cheers.